Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 3, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter June 3, 2020. There's nowhere to run from the new state of the last generation. We must realize our mission, which cannot be shirked, to bring humanity to a global, integral system of connections by way of the light that reforms, which flows through our group and into the world. When a good connection, mutual guarantee, emerges in our unity, we sense life inside it. In the current painful existence, the whole body is fragmented, lacking circulation of the upper light, which fills every part of the soul. This means attaining correction, the eternal and perfect life. The health of the nation depends on unity, mutual guarantee. Every person is a guarantor for the neighbor's health and the care for everyone's good health. This is how we will get rid of the virus, how we will perform an action toward unity, mutual guarantee, and construction of the common integral vessel. Mutual guarantee is the main correction. I must think of others, be included in them, care for and feel their desires, understand how to help them attain adhesion with the Creator, and correction of the broken soul of Adam HaRishon. The coronavirus is intended to show us how dependent we are on each other. This dependence is called mutual guarantee, when I must think not about how to save myself from the coronavirus, but how to save others from the infection, with my caring, good attitude to them. The coronavirus barges into our life and declares, "You are all integrally connected, you are all standing in front of Mount Sinai, and if you do not unite with each other and ask the upper force to correct you, this will be your burial ground." We will start to get on the right path when we will sit at home because we fear infecting others, instead of thinking of ourselves. The coronavirus won't go away until this change takes place. The virus will force us think about how not to harm others. I am afraid to harm others and I prefer to sit at home. We must see the essence of the virus. It points not to a biological illness, but to our spiritual state, to the relationships between us, to the lack of our mutual guarantee. And in order to preserve such a guarantee and mutual concern, we need the upper light. Mutual guarantee is when I must not think about myself, for others are thinking about me. I must think only about them, about the ten. We are all in mutual guarantee, gradually expanding it to include the whole world, and the Creator dwells between us, correcting us. Dissemination is the correction of our external spiritual vessel, kli, that must be attached to us, which we must treat as a head treats the body. Dissemination is the most important and necessary component, and here we place great hopes on the women. Our life comprises the study, the work on unity, and dissemination. The study is first and foremost, for without it there will be neither unity nor dissemination. Without unity, you cannot actualize the study and you cannot do dissemination, that is, the general correction of the world. The Torah is an instruction, or a manual to the path, a complete guide that describes all our ascents and descents, all the relationships between us and the relationships with the Creator. It is a means of drawing the light of correction from above from the corrected system of the general soul of Adam HaRishon into our broken system. People think that the first wave of the pandemic has passed, and we can ease the conditions of the #quarantine until the next wave comes. But who said that we can already ease our lives? After all, have we already carried out any corrections? Have we brought ourselves in congruence with the integral nature? Have we improved our society? The #coronavirus has brought us all to a realization of our own utter helplessness. Nobody knows what to do, how to escape these problems. Even though the virus is taking fewer lives than wars, it binds us completely. The healing starts by starting to correct the ego, but nobody will agree to that, for now. Egoism is given from above, its revelation comes from the Creator. Therefore, do not expect egoism to disappear. On the contrary, we grow as our egoism increases. I need to get used to it. I must not despair. I must go on, even on all fours, but keep on crawling toward the goal. The Creator is not an inner power. There is no power in us. There are 10 people, and not one has any power. But since we want to connect, we reveal the force between us. This force is the Creator who is between us. We use His power, not our own. It is out of despair, supporting each other, making efforts despite fatigue, that we approach the revelation of the Creator. This work is called a journey through the desert, where we draw the power of bestowal. Passing through the desert, we ascend from Malkut to Bina. It's easier to understand a friend's question than to feel it. But we must try to evoke feelings through the mind. Everyone feels, then asks. From a friend's question, I want to feel what he feels. The friend went from a feeling into his mind, while I, with my mind, want to attain his feeling. I want to get closer to my friends or to the Creator, but I can't. This is where the opportunity arises to ask the Creator for help, to affect me with the upper light, to give me the power of bestowal. I must reveal the place of correction, and the upper light will correct. The Creator will finish it for me. Elo, one third of the world's population, over 2 billion people, are at risk of job loss. In fact, only the enterprises and jobs necessary for existence will remain. The rest should be engaged in training and education of a new society. It is necessary to reduce all made-up businesses for which there is no need, that destroy nature. People who are free from unnecessary work should be enrolled in the system of integral education, so that they learn about the right connection between us should we want to survive and be happy. We exist in a global integral nature, and we are obliged to change, adjust ourselves to its structure. Otherwise, this state will come to us through bloody force, like all changes in social structures that were accompanied by wars and revolutions. This is not a virus but a spiritual revolution. Mankind has suffered a serious ideological blow. People do not really want to return to their jobs. They need to make a living, but it does not incite the prior enthusiasm. Passion, desire to succeed, win, or manage have been lost. The coronavirus blow made us wiser. The only way to avoid epidemics is to establish good relations between us. This is the only way to destroy all viruses. We are obliged to connect into one system of good connections. Please note, nature will prompt us to do so with many different impacts. From Twitter, June 3, 2020. The loneliness epidemic is worse than the coronavirus. Emotional stability is a serious problem during the time of the coronavirus due to quarantine and stressful situations in families. Many more people need the help of psychologists. They feel isolated and suffer from loneliness like never before. Even before the coronavirus pandemic, medical experts reported an epidemic of loneliness in the United States. The coronavirus sharply exacerbated this problem, since it affects 28% of American homes, that is, about 36 million people live alone, without a family, without children. On the other hand, there is hope that the coronavirus will force us to pay attention to the problem of loneliness and look for ways to establish more social ties in the future. As it turned out, it is easier to avoid the coronavirus infection than to protect yourself from emotional stress and mental disorders due to the quarantine. How should the society deal with the effects of social isolation after the coronavirus? The feeling of loneliness will continue after the epidemic and will only grow. Society will split into many parts, and people will be less and less in contact with each other. There will be less opportunity for meetings and communication at workplaces. Sports clubs, restaurants, bars, and theaters will be visited by fewer people. We will feel more and more separated from one another, distant. A new wave of coronavirus and other problems will force us to move away from one another, and in addition, everyone will be preoccupied with the problems of their own health and the problems of society. And we will see that not only 36 million people living alone suffer from loneliness, but many more. The number of divorces and other problems in families will increase sharply. We are facing a very difficult period when humanity will have to understand that it is no longer possible to exist according to the old rules, and it is necessary to establish a new order of life. The fact is that a person today feels very lonely in this vast world. And although this world is so rich and multicolored, man cannot find himself in it. Even if he has a good income and can afford a lot in material terms, he still suffers from loneliness. After all, we are not taught how to establish the right connections, and we are not prepared for life in a global and integral world. We don't feel that we live inside the same sphere where the inanimate, vegetative, and animate world and people exist together, in one integrated system on the globe. On the contrary, we all gang up on one another in personal relations and entire nations and states. And here comes the coronavirus and many other problems that are inevitable with us behaving like that, and of course we won't feel better. One Missouri teacher described her condition during quarantine as follows: "Some days I hold on and don't feel that bad, but on other days it seems to me that if this quarantine lasts a little longer, I just won't be able to stand it anymore and will go crazy. Can I stay in the right mind, continuing to live alone for months, years? Why is connecting between people so important to them? Why do people need constant communication with other people, and if they do not know how to do it right, then they either go crazy from loneliness, or live together and drive each other crazy? The fact is that man is a social creature. We cannot live like animals that meet for a short time to produce offspring and then separate. A man needs a family, society, a home, a city, and a country where he can live with others. A person needs an emotional connection, which does not exist in the inanimate, vegetative, or animate nature, not chemical, hormonal, but sensory. But such a connection does not work out for us, and we are trying to replace these sensory relationships with business or competitive ones. And everyone suffers from this. Even the richest man does not have what he should receive from society. He needs to receive from society more than from his mother. But we do not have this because we are not building a society that would give everyone a feeling of warmth, confidence, and support. And without this, a person feels like in a vacuum, or even worse, in a hostile environment. He goes out into the street and perceives every person he meets as his enemy. Humanity is suffering a lot from this. And as a result of such relationships between us, with our selfish thoughts and desires, we create a place from which all sorts of pests, such as the coronavirus, come out, and we ourselves endanger our lives. In the end, we need to figure out why we live, who we are, why we behave this way. Can we relate to each other differently? Let's think about how to build a society that matches the entire universe. After all of nature is integral, all its parts are interconnected. And human society must be as friendly, built on mutual support. But we built it in our egoism as exactly the opposite. The time has come to conduct a complete audit and decide that we are going against our egoistic nature in order to build the right connection between everyone above it. Our good future depends only on this. It is clear that man himself, who has fallen into a difficult situation, does not know what to do, and is confused under the pressure of the environment, his debts and obligations. It remains only to regret it. But there are social systems that are obligated to think about it. It is already clear that it is impossible to continue this way, because we are approaching total destruction. We need a system of integral education in order to cultivate a new person who is more friendly. Nature obliges us to this. We are inside the sphere as a single symbiosis, where inanimate nature, plants, and animals all support and supplement each other. Everything except man. Man alone wants to rule over all without any boundaries. He does not care that he harms the overall system. If you do not stop man, he will destroy the globe. Therefore, From the point of view of the general nature and our internal nature, we must realize that we belong to one integral, interconnected system, and educate ourselves anew. From CAB TV's Global Perspectives, May 15, 2020. The Last Generation, the Time of Women. For many generations, women have been in the shadows. But in our time, they are beginning to awaken and come forward because we live in the last generation, the last stage of development of humanity, which must bring unity among all men and all women and then unite men and women together with the Creator. Kabbalists wrote about the coming of the last generation and all its signs are confirmed judging by the global coronavirus pandemic as well as other events that are yet to happen in the near future. The progress in the 21st century brought us to a state where there is nothing to do but unite with each other and rise to the spiritual level. And here, in the birth of a new humanity, women must fulfill their irreplaceable role. What is the difference between a woman's work in the new, post-coronavirus world and the old one? We still do not really understand and feel it, but we can already see how the coronavirus has locked us inside our homes, inside our families, leaving us alone with our husband or wife, with our children, with all our problems. We start to look at life in a completely different way because the future is covered with uncertainty. And even now, with the easing of the quarantine and seemingly returning to normal life, we do not know what will happen, and we are afraid of a new wave of the coronavirus. It is possible that there are many other dangerous viruses besides it. We must understand that all this comes in order to make us one humanity. And most importantly, to organize women to unite and lead the world. If people now spend more time at home, it means that women receive huge power. Many will lose their jobs completely, others will work from home via the internet, meaning, men will be at home most of the time. And if everything is concentrated in the house, then, of course, a woman will have a more important, high, and decisive position. The house is run by the woman, not the man. And so, if we act wisely and delicately, women can gradually draw men to the correction of the world, which is already bound to come and is approaching. We have no choice. We need to explain this to our men and convince them to participate in it. A woman should, as a mother, take care of her children and her husband in order to guide them in the right direction toward correction. And then, we will definitely be able to achieve peace in the family and peace in the world, as well as rise to connect with the Creator. So, the last generation will be the time of the woman if she can fulfill her role. If not, we will have to move toward correction through blows and suffering. From a Kabbalah lesson, Women in the New World, May 9, 2020. The Ten is the violin of the Creator. The Creator is the Absolute, which does not change and reveals itself to us as a force of absolute good. Our perceptions and our desires are changing, that is why we say that the Creator is changing. But in reality, changes occur only in us. Therefore, in order to reveal the Creator, we need to bring ourselves to the state of similarity to Him in order to match His properties. But how can we become similar to the Creator if we are all egoists? We remain egoists, but we must unite between us above our egoism with bonds of mutual bestowal, unity, and love despite our natural rejection. We are like an untuned musical instrument that needs to be tuned in order to play correctly. It is written about the violin of King David that it was hanging on the wall and at some point, that is, in a special state, it began to play by itself. The group should achieve such connection between the friends, which will be in a form similar to the Creator. Although everyone remains egoistic, they overcome their egoism and unite with others in such a way that the form of our connection corresponds to the form of the Creator, perfect, one. And then the Creator reveals Himself in us. He is not somewhere outside the group but only within it. To the extent that 10 friends tune themselves for the right connection, for mutual bestowal, the Creator reveals himself and starts to play our violin. This is the revelation of the Creator to the created beings. Therefore, it is necessary to relate to the work intends practically, effectively, striving to achieve such a form and spirit of connection that is similar to the Creator. Of course, we are moving toward this gradually, through 125 steps, calibrating ourselves more and more accurately. Thus, we achieve the complete revelation of the Creator in our common Kli, in the Havaya, when He is one and His name, one. That is, the Havaya, our ten, is correctly connected by all the ten Sephirot, by all their smallest inner sub-Sephirot so much so that they achieve complete unity, corresponding to the nature of the Creator, absolute bestowal. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson May 18, 2020, Writings of Rabash, The Agenda of the Assembly, 2, 1986. Answers to your questions, Part 250. Question: In addition to the five senses, sensory systems, aimed outward, there are internal sensors in our body directed inward, which process information from its various parts, from all the muscles, the internal organs, the blood vessels, and all areas of the brain. What does Kabbalah say about the internal sensors? Are they necessary only to maintain the homeostasis and the awareness of the physical well-being and desires in the body, or do they also help me recognize my most sublime and deepest desires as well as the desires of other people? Answer: The whole system is integral. There is no part in it which can operate in isolation from other parts. What do our attributes dictate to us? In our world we believe that everything changes on the outside, like the weather. For example, sunshine, snow, and rain. I accept it all as something that falls on my head. In fact, this is not so. Everything depends on my attributes. It is to such an extent that I need to gradually begin to feel even external phenomena such as snow, rain, and sunshine, and different problems we may encounter in this world, like earthquakes and other such things. Not as the Creator's impacts on me, but as my own attributes. My attributes dictate all the phenomena and everything I feel in this world, while I feel that they are seemingly nature's or the Creator's positive or negative attitude toward me. His attribute is absolutely positive bestowal unto me. You imagine how different we are from the Creator and that we feel our lives as constant changes from bad to worse to better and then to worse, from better to worse, over and over again. We are constantly unhappy with Him. There are two options in our attitude to the Creator. On the one hand, we can relate to the Creator Himself. But we need to understand that we cannot relate to the Creator Himself because He is the source of absolute good. Whatever we attribute to Him, we will not be able to change anything because He is simply the source of the light. The only thing that can help is the right attitude toward the light that emanates from Him, not our attitude to the source, but to the light. In order to relate to the light correctly, we need to understand how it comes to us, what it carries, and how we can be in contact with it. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 8, 2019. Man's only sin. Question: Why do the original sources say that the only sin of man is when he does not ask the Creator for help? Answer: If we are completely in the Creator, completely tied to Him and without exception, we receive from Him, no matter what desires and intentions we have, even the worst, most rude ones, all that remains for us is to constantly, purposefully turn to Him so that He will change us and bring us closer to Him and reveal what we should do regarding Him. That is, the sin does not lie in the fact that I did something in relation to another person or to the Creator, but in the fact that I did not ask the Creator to give me the strength to consciously turn to Him, to consciously perceive what I receive from Him. Question: So, while I live unconsciously, then, in principle, there is nothing to demand from me? There can be nothing to demand from any animal? Answer: Sure. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 1, 2020. New Life 1205. Living inside my bubble.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show, Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yaisha Doel. Hello. And today, we'd like to talk about living in a bubble. We live our life. Around us, there are other people that sometimes look at us and say that we're living in a bubble. Sometimes we look at other people and we're certain that they're living in a bubble. And today, we'd like to find out what that bubble is. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, throughout history and certainly nowadays, we know that there are people that decided not to live in the mainstream, whether they decided to live in some retreat in the Galilee or somewhere in the south, or it could be in the center of Tel Aviv. People that decided to work from home, doing their own thing. Modern society and technology and everything allow us to distance ourselves from different things and to choose to be closed inside my own bubble. Now, these people, when you tell them, guys, you're living in a bubble, they say, incorrect, we're not the only ones living in a bubble. Everyone's living in a bubble. Every person experiences reality from his own point of view, sees things the way he wants to see them. And I'd like to ask, is every person living in his own bubble? For sure. But I'd like to also say that, for example, I'm living in a bubble. If we're talking about my physical life, I barely leave my room, my apartment, the place where I live and work. True? Yeah? This is how I am. And I don't feel any kind of lack as a result. Sometimes I do go out and travel, but only if there's a need for it, something that I plan ahead. But usually it's good for me to be inside my bubble, inside my own physical place, because by that I feel that I form and build the things that I can give and serve to my students, humanity, and so on. However, it doesn't mean that I'm living in a bubble in terms of my perception of reality, intellectually, my connection with the world, my connection with other people, and so on. I have my radio, television, different kinds of media. I have thousands of students all around the world. Some say even a few millions, and so on. So, is this my bubble? Some can say, yeah, even though that it's a few millions, still it's a bubble. Okay, then what can you do? All in all, we're living on a small planet that's flying in some universe, and that's a bubble too. Everything's a bubble. And our universe too. There are many things. Who knows how many universes there are? Or it's a bubble. Therefore, I think that it's something natural. It's good and correct. A person lives inside himself. As a psychologist, you should understand me. This is your profession. And so, of course, he lives in a bubble that he has shaped for himself. By my character, nature, outlook on life, the way I'm built on the inside, the way I grasp the world, and you can very clearly see it on a child, how each has a very unique perception. And this is how he approaches the world. and you can't do anything about that. Also, the Torah says, raise a child in his own ways. So, of course, everyone builds for themselves a certain perception of reality and this their bubble, and out of this bubble, from this bubble, or in this bubble, this is how a person relates to everything. Is it good? Is it bad? We can't say. It's life. This is how we naturally are. Everyone's living in a bubble. The same goes for animals or anyone that feels and responds to how the surrounding nature influences him. Then he lives in a certain approach, in a certain attitude of how he responds with his qualities to the surrounding nature, and he lives, therefore, in a bubble, his relationship with the surrounding world. Beyond a person's natural character that, as you say, you can already see it on babies, everyone has their unique perception that they're even born with, that this is how they see reality. Beyond this, what does it mean to be in a bubble? This bubble, is it a kind of illusion or is it reality? This is a question. To the measure to which a person's closed inside his bubble, not wanting to come out, and to the measure to which he's closed and is afraid of breaching these boundaries, or does he do it on purpose in order to research these things, to be more devoted to some ideal or goal? Not wanting for certain opinions that he doesn't want to integrate with, for them to influence him or anything. There is the bubble that we build instinctively, that this is how nature forces us to develop. And we see how we choose a certain circle of people for ourselves, that besides our family, our immediate family, we have friends and so on, especially people that have the same approach, attitude toward life as we do, towards challenges and so on. And this is how we live. And also all of humanity lives in a kind of bubble. We live on a small planet that's moving very quickly through the universe. And we're living our life that if someone would look at us from the outside in, they'd say, look at the bubble that they're living in. When a person instinctively chooses things that he is instinctively drawn to, people that are similar to him, worldviews that he identifies with, and so on, you can even go and work in some non-profit organization that has the same worldview that you believe in. It kind of disconnects you from the rest of the world, or a researcher that is researching something very specific, and all the people that he meets, they're doing the same, they're from the same genre. There's this ideological bubble or professional bubble or social bubble. Living this way, is it an advantage or not? Is it correct or not to live this way? When we're talking about people that go to outer space and they look at Earth from afar, they come back and they're already different. Their opinions change. They can no longer be bad. They're thinking about everyone already in a global and integral way. They understand that all in all, we're small creatures living on Earth. And why do we all day long want to do bad things to each other? By detaching from us, even for a short period of time, they come back with a different opinion about how we're supposed to be. Were it possible to take all of humanity and send them to outer space and bring them back, I think that we would have, by this, we would have changed our reality and our world. Actually, by this, we come out of the bubble of our current perceptions. Exactly. That by this you get a perspective that is outside of your ordinary bubble, and then when I come out of my bubble, I understand that life could be completely different. And then I agree. I agree to change myself. I do it even against my own will because I got this new perspective through which I look at life, and I understand that life here on Earth is very limited, childish, that we're all the time in different kinds of struggles with one another, that it doesn't suit mature people, humanity, and this is how we change. Before you help us understand what's outside of the bubble, before that, I'd like to understand, do we choose to be in a bubble, or do we have to? I mean, does a person do it consciously, or that's life? To come out from the bubble or go into the bubble? To go into the bubble. No. Every person chooses these things according to his character, profession, inclinations, because we can't just exist without any boundaries, without an environment. But I choose my environment according to what I want to achieve in life. If I want to be a scientist, then I want to be among scientists. If I want to be a tailor, then I'll choose to be among tailors and so on. So it can really help me in terms of allowing me to focus all of my energy on what I want to achieve. Of course, it's impossible to be without that. Only what we're talking about here is how, by coming out of our previous bubble, can we reach a more advanced bubble. Okay, I just want to understand. You're saying that everyone has to have their boundaries, limits. We're all in a kind of bubble that does not allow us to even come out of ourselves. What is the significance of these boundaries for each of us? A person feels safe, he understands, he feels, he's somehow in control. He doesn't waste lots of energy in order to every time deal with things, but the situation is clear, known, like a person at home. He doesn't have to waste his energy to be on guard because he's at home in a convenient environment that's good for him. And still, you're saying that there's this big gap. Up until now, you explained, why should I stay in a bubble? Or why are the boundaries important to me? You also said that there are serious advantages, big advantages to coming out of the bubble. You even said that it's a more advanced evolvement or development of man. Yes, but this is a problem because a person can't do that unless he uses supernatural forces. That we live in nature the way that we do, and you can move from one bubble to another, where we change our profession or the environment. These are little things. But really? How to rise above the bubble? This is only with the help of the so-called upper force. And for this, we need the wisdom of Kabbalah. That gives a person the strength to come out of his bubble, to as if disconnect like that astronaut in space. And this way, to change even more than an astronaut. To change his life, his bubble, the space that he lives in, into something that he chooses as a more superior, eternal, whole and complete environment that he builds, not that he enters it by chance or by some foreign forces that move him from place to place, but he builds that place. This place of coming out of the bubble into something else, going back to that astronaut in order to understand this a bit better. What is that change that the astronaut goes through by moving away from Earth that allows him to come out of his bubble? You're saying that he comes back a different person. This is how they all are. All of them come back, and they don't really come back. They come back physically, but they don't come back internally, mentally, intellectually. They already take our planet into consideration differently. What is outside a person's bubble? He saw us from the outside. When he wasn't here, he felt how different it is to be detached from this life. He has a kind of feeling, kind of attainment of a kind of outer body experience that we live inside this body that's called humanity, human beings, our ego, and they already change a bit. They get a new kind of perception. And what does this allow them? It allows them to rise a bit above our life and make more objective calculations. And where's this on their axis of development? Because it sounds kind of disconnected from life. After that, they already live life in a bit more foggy way. They don't really feel the earth beneath their feet. Is it a higher or lower level of development? Higher. Still, we're not really told about this. We're not told about this at all. This on the one hand, but on the other hand, we don't see these people running for government or for some managing positions or something. They don't have that. They're given some position here, there, some job, and just how they live their life in a bubble.
Yeah.
Previously you said that in order to really come out of our bubble, a person needs supernatural forces, something that he does not have, and that Kabbalah allows a person to disconnect from his bubble. If we're talking about an astronaut, I understand what it means to disconnect. You get into a spaceship, you fly out into outer space, and that's that. Suppose I can't buy a ticket to outer space, to the moon. Yeah, I can go to India, but I think that's the most I could do. So you're saying that a person can get these supernatural forces that can allow him to disconnect from his bubble. What is this process? It's a big difference. If I travel to India, I exchange, as the Hebrew saying goes, a cow for a donkey, meaning one human society for another. There the ego works as well, only in a bit of a different style. And today you travel around the world, there's nothing new. Even if you take a person that lived in the center of Tel Aviv and moved to the Galilee. Yeah, I think it's not that much different than moving to India. So I lived in all of these places, and when you're talking about these supernatural forces that allow you to disconnect from your bubble, does it have to do with geographically moving, or what do you have to disconnect from? What opens up? That you go to outer space, I too was to India and to many other places in the world. I think that the difference is that you disconnect from humanity when you go to outer space. Yeah, from humanity. It's not that you're just going to climb some mountain or across the ocean, but you're disconnecting from Earth, from humanity, from this entire life that exists here on the face of the Earth. that's flying someplace between the stars. Okay, now going back to the wisdom of Kabbalah, you're saying that the wisdom of Kabbalah can give a person supernatural forces that will allow him to disconnect from his bubble like an astronaut. So, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, you don't get a ticket to outer space, right?
True.
So, what kind of new perception does it give a person that disconnects him from his previous bubble? You disconnect from your ego, from your calculations. This is what you have to disconnect from. Upon these calculations, I have to build different kinds of calculations. That I have no other way to come to. I have to rise above myself, my sense of self, like we're talking about leaving Earth, that our entire reality is a reality that exists inside ourselves. I have to disconnect from it. Only this way can I become free. What does it mean to rise above my sense of self, above myself? First of all, above my egoistic calculations, which is what? To my own benefit, the way I am as if depicting it now. And what do I actually reach? Then I have an entire laboratory in front of me. If I'm thinking to the benefit of others, but really to the benefit of others, others meaning that are completely unrelated to me, even my enemies, complete strangers, and so on. If I change my attitude toward them, I start feeling how much I change. This bubble, if I blow it up like a soap bubble, and I come out of myself, I feel the other. You feel that you change your foundations, your entire basis. What changes? You take others into consideration and the way you consider yourself. What does it mean that your calculations completely change? So, whatever happens in life, whatever I feel, it's completely different than the way I feel it now. Yeah? As if I've exchanged one system for another emotional, intellectual system that's completely different. Yeah? This means to come out of the bubble? You can't come out of the bubble unless you change it into something else. So it's impossible to come out of the bubble, but you can change it? Yeah, and this is how you come out, as if. I come out of what? The limitations of the perception of the previous bubble? Everything that you had before, for better and for worse. By this, you really change your outlook on life. You talked about freedom. So, this freedom, before we come out of our bubble, of our perception, of our attitude, calculations, and so on, we have no idea where we are. We're activating ourselves as this bubble, as our environment forces us to, and this is how I live my life. So, I am the boundaries of myself. Yeah? Or more precisely put, my calculations to my own benefit create the boundaries of my bubble. Of course, I do it to myself. Who limits me, dominates me? Who's this pharaoh, boss over me? I myself. Now, these boundaries of perception that you call to my own benefit, they create a certain bubble for me, a different bubble for her, and so on. Is there a kind of limitedness in this kind of perception, and what is it? You can't come out into a new kind of perception, calculation. Am I losing something as a result? And why? Because you're not living your life. You're experiencing a world that you yourself have shaped, designed inside your own ego, in your attitude towards others, and this is what you live in. And what am I losing? The truth? What is the truth? I don't know. but I've built for myself, let's call it my own kingdom, and I live in it, and it's a kind of an illusion. Of course. What does it really mean to live life? I have to get rid of what I've built, imagined, depicted for myself. Why is it that if I cross from calculations to my own benefit, to calculations for the benefit of others, then by that I advance to some place? You have no choice. You can't change the bubble that you've instinctively built out of everything that was given to you into something else. You have just one option, which is what? To rise above your bubble and to be in a different kind of bubble. That is what? The force of bestowal, which is what? As opposed to entirely being in the force of reception inside myself, inside my ego, and everything that I do it out of my ego, and then this is something that I can change and reach a new kind of calculation that is to the benefit of others, to the benefit of someone that's outside of my bubble. You can call it to the benefit of others, but really it's to your own benefit. What do you mean? Because by this, I extend my bubble, my vessel, my world. It becomes infinite. You actually expand yourself. The bubble is right now closing me in. It's like safe, comfortable, saves energy, like a baby in his crib. But actually, my broader state is to come out of the bubble and to live, experience something broader than myself. And this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah allows us. In the future world, in a more evolved evolution, in a more evolved society, will there be bubbles? Always. But we'll all the time try to expand them limitlessly. This is amazing. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
Remembering every level. In Shemati 34, the prophet of the land, Baal HaSulam, writes, to be rewarded with the degree of hating separation, one must first know what separation is, meaning what he is separated from, and then one may say that he wants to correct that separation. He wants to not only correct himself, but also restrict himself so he does not move away. This is only if he understands what this separation is. But if he doesn't remember this state, this definition, or if he has never experienced it, he is not afraid of it and gets close to it like a blind man. Question: does this mean that one should experience a prior separation? Answer: yes, definitely. It is only after we fall that we can maintain the state of not falling internally. Where does all of creation start? From the shattering. Remark: but we don't remember our fall. My comment: we do not remember, but we can remember it if we want to. Then we will not fall and we will not break, because all of the negative attributes will exist within us. We do not need to bang our heads against the wall again and again. In other words, a spiritual reshimot of all the levels of the descent, of the fall, remain in us, and we will ascend up the same levels and remember every level. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 15, 2019. The Spiritual Role of a Woman, Part 10. Who is more corrected, man or woman? Question: can one say that initially a woman is more spiritually corrected than a man? Answer: in part, yes. But on the other hand, a man in relation to this is given greater opportunities to correct himself than a woman. So in a specific state it cannot be said that a man has more conditions and opportunities than a woman. Women have a much more balanced egoism and much fewer states. And in men, the contrary. But among men and women there is a huge difference, a whole palette of egoistic states. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 8, 2020. Thank you. One power, nature, the creator. Question. What is the point of calling for unification without mentioning the creator if he is the only one who can connect people? Answer. What is the point of talking about the creator if no one believes in him, doesn't understand him, and doesn't know him? What does the creator mean? All of our integral, interconnected nature in which we exist is the creator. Or are you talking about nature with its integral, physical, exact mathematical laws? Or are you talking about the creator as the highest power? Both concepts are identical. The creator isn't some god who sits somewhere on a cloud, makes something up, and then creates it. The creator is all of the enormous, eternal, perfect, and infinite nature, which includes all the worlds and all stages of the ascent of a man to these worlds. Therefore, one doesn't have to imagine Kabbalistic expressions in their earthly form. On the contrary, the nature or the creator is one and the same all the time. Kabbalah doesn't explain otherwise. Study Kabbalah and you will see how to relate to these forces. From KabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 22, 2020.